This is a duplication tape of Ms. Betty Wong Lim interview, tape 2, a 90-minute to a 60-minute tape, duplication.
Interview number 18, Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California.
Mrs. Lim, can you tell me a little bit about your brothers and sisters, about what they did?
My brothers and sister, I don't quite remember them because my oldest sister was married before I was born, and she had how many children? Oh, she had Charlotte, she had she have Teresa. She have Teresa and she have Mary. She have Kenneth. She have two boys and a girl. But she have, Teresa has wonderful children. His name is John and he is also a researcher for cancer. That's in New York.
What's your older sister's name?
Grace.
Grace?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's my older sister. I don't even know what she looked like. Then I have
You never saw her?
No. She was married before I was born. Then I have a brother, George, who
and
went
And where
back.
Did she move to? Why didn't you ever
She see moved
her?
To Boston.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Boston, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Then she died when she was only 39 years old. Then she has some wonderful children, and I'm still keeping in track with them. And then I have a brother named George. He went back to Hong Kong. I must be Hong Kong at that time. He went back to Hong Kong to get married. He died there. We have 14 children in our family.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember all of them. All I remember is George and Elsie. She lived in San Francisco. And then I have a brother named Walter. He's gone, and a brother named Harry, he's gone, and a brother named Harry, and a brother named Bill Wong, who plays extras in the movies, and he plays in Bachelor Father. He was very good in that. And
what role did he play in Bachelor Father?
He played
Father?
Grandpa Ling. Uh-huh. He's very good. He's very handsome. He's very good. And Keeluk was trying to get him into the flower drum song. But his voice didn't throw, so he didn't get in. But he got he's a good player, but he got good parts. They had another named Bruce. He sort of self-educated too. And he opened the Ming Room and the Chinese Village. And my brother died young too. They're all gone. And I think there isn't much to tell that Bruce is a self-made man too, because he mingled with all the big producers and all the actors. So when he died, Paracomo came and visited him when he was sick. And then John Forsythe sent a beautiful flower arrangement when my brother Bill died. Mm-hmm. So that's all I can tell about my brothers and sisters. I have a sister named Daisy, I forgot to mention her. She died about, going on 9 years now.
Your brother Bill, what else did he do besides play extras movies?
That's all he did. That's his livelihood, you know. They work whenever they want to, and he was a good friend of Richard Liu's.
Mm-hmm.
Those two were going back to Hong Kong, you know, when they were planning their trip.
So, So he actually made enough money to support himself working
as
extras?
Oh, yes, he did. At that time he did, you know. He's gone about 14 years, I believe, now. Mm-hmm. 14 years. So I think the only one that really made very well is my brother Bruce, you know. He was a businessman. He was always in the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. He used to cater to Earl Flynn when he had the Chinese Village and all the movie people. Just like when my husband and I have the restaurant up in Hollywood. See, we cater all the movie people, you know. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. So most of them, like Marlon Brando, I told you that he didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. He gave us the billfold to pay for his bill. Mm-hmm. So that was it.
Mm-hmm. So which ones of the family besides you and Bill stayed around in Southern California or in Los Angeles?
My sister Daisy. My sister Daisy.
What did you say your sister Daisy did?
She didn't do anything. She's a housewife.
Who did she marry?
She married to Quan Sing. So he was a very good cook. He was a cook, you know. That's the way he made. And he's a fine man. He died of a heart attack, too. It's just too bad that they all go so fast, you know that. Seems like my family all, well, most of them lived a long age. No, not only one. My sister Elsie lived to old age. The other ones aren't that young.
So you're the only one of the 14 that...
I'm the only one left. Besides, I just lost my cousin, the Wong Yu. That's the one I told you about a while ago. Wong Yu, I just lost him in December. He was a self-made man, too.
What did he do?
He was in the Apex Produce Company. He sends all his salary, all of... a train salary. He's a big man, you know. He never spoke good English, but he got by with this self-taught businessman. You know, he's a businessman. He made very good.
This was a grocery store?
No, Apex Produce. You know, produce is really in the market down in the market area where he ships all his salary. To like in New York, all over California, all over. It was Wong's salary. So he was a self-made man too. Excuse me, all my family didn't have a wonderful education. I mean, they didn't have that diploma or thing, but they made good of their own. Which was, well, I think it's very interesting that sometimes you don't need a diploma to do all this. But I suppose you have to be intelligent, know how to run it, you know. So it was very interesting for me to know that they are a self-made person, and I'm very proud of them. Very proud of them. So I'm the only one left now, which is, I think it seems very sad, but I think there's somebody up there wants me to do something down here.
Did any of your brothers and sisters go to China? Go back
only
to China?
Only one, George. He went to China to get married. But,
oh, that's right.
George went to China to get married. But I don't even know what he even looked like, to tell you the truth. Don't know what Grace looks like. It's a shame that I don't know anything like that, because I would like to know my brothers and sisters. I only remember my brother Bruce, my brother Bill, and my sister Elsie, and my sister Daisy. Because when I was having my daughter, when she was born, my sister Elsie came from San Francisco to help me. See? To take care of me, which was very nice, you know, that has the old family take care of me. Cook the Chinese food, you know. It was nice.
And what about your father-in-law? Who was he? Somebody?
My father-in-law is a very interesting, a very intellectual man. He is George C. Lim. That's my husband's father, a self-educated man, very proud, very, what would you call it now? Immaculate, yeah. He's a Christian. See, my father's a Confucius. And he's an interpreter for all the Chinese people in Chinatown. See, he taught himself English. In fact, he even taught himself law, and his English is just perfect. And he helped Lucky Baldwin when they were building the railroad. And all these Chinese people have cues, you know. And so he said, I will not hire you to work until you cut your cues off. The cues you saw last night in last night's picture.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really a self-made man. He was a very intellectual man. I'm very proud of him. And he also had the home telephone down in Chinatown. That must have been a long time ago.
What do you mean by he had the home telephone?
He opened the home telephone. You know, they have a telephone exchange just for the Chinese people around Chinatown, the home telephone. They call it home telephone. So you can call up Chinese and talk to whatever you want, you know. Home telephone. You know what home telephone is.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my father-in-law. I should really show you a picture. When he died, his picture was in a Times paper.
Mm.
So we'll have to go back to research and look for that Times paper, what Mayor Bowen said about him.
So his job was as an interpreter for...
No, his job was just being an intellectual man. He did help the Chinese people do interpreting.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe my husband helped his father sell insurance. Then he opened a Chinese cafe in L.A., the Peking Cafe. That's down on Main Street somewhere. I don't know where that was. But then he opened the first Chinese restaurant in Japanese town called Lem's Cafe.
George Lem opened this?
Yes, my father-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Ran a very successful business.
Mm-hmm. Was this the one that your family, you and your husband, took over?
Yes.
Did you take over?
Yes. Uh-huh. After we left Wings Cafe, we went there back down there too. Well, during the war of, let's see, that was the Second World War, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He rented out because he did not want it to be down in Japanese town when they were having a war. So he rented it out. So then we came back after we, you know, rebuilt the place, fixed it over. Then we had to come back down to Lemon's Cafe to take care of the restaurant. So we took care of the restaurant ever since, until my husband died. Then we sold it. So the family sold the place because the family, the restaurant and the place belongs to the family, you know. The family, my family,
mm-hmm.
My husband's family.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we ran the place, and it was a very nice place. It's a very, very successful place. It's very nice being down in Japanese town because it's very interesting to be, you know. But I was very sad leaving Wings Cafe, I'm telling you the truth, because I met so many movie people. I met Key Loop there, I tell you the truth. Key was a very good booster for me. Then I met all these with Jack Crucian, Lorne Green, director Bert Kennedy, and all of them down there. And they great big booster me for Lem's Cafe too. So I like it. It's interesting life. Running a restaurant is interesting if you have the business, but happen to be very successful. That's what I like about it. You know, it was just standing in line all the time, waiting for it to get in. The food was good. It was not like now. You used to be the things about 10 years ago. The things were so much cheaper. You know, it's so much different now. You can't even eat anywhere. Sometimes the for one person, you can have for a party of 100, they only have to spend so very little for a great big party down in Japanese town. All the judo clubs, the golf tournaments, and all of them come down. And the movie people were the after picture party. They were all down there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very interesting down in Japanese town. It was a nice restaurant.
When did you have Lem's Cafe?
I think my father-in-law had it for over, gosh, he's been gone, let's see, my husband's, gosh, over 70. Must be over 60 years ago. What's the Second World War was when? 1933 or 1930 what?
Mm-hmm.
He had it longer than that, you know, because my father-in-law died when he was 92 years old. So when he died, in fact, we still have the restaurant. See, that's when we have the restaurant. When he died, we went back down there. That was a long time ago. So we had that restaurant for a long time. He had it for a long, long time. Must be up to 70 years. I know. It's the first restaurant down in Japanese town, Chinese restaurant. So he decided to go down to Japanese town to open a Chinese restaurant.
So your clientele was mostly Japanese?
We have Japanese, we have Caucasians, we have... Then when we went back down, all the movie people came down. We brought them all down to First Street, which they like it very much, that they can go shopping down to Little Tokyo. See, they bring all the families down. It's more like it's a family restaurant. There was no liquor on it, just light wine and beer. So it's a lot of difference in, you know, having a restaurant like that with just light wine and beer. It's a family restaurant. It was nice. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of my father-in-law because he is well-known among the Caucasian people. He's well-read. Mm-hmm. He said, one should only read the Times paper. Don't buy the Examiner. That's my father-in-law.
Do you know anything else about your father-in-law's family, the Lim family?
Well, they have, my husband, they have two brothers and five daughters. One daughter's gone, and my husband's gone, that's seven, that's two. And then there was four daughters and two sons left. They all retired. So there isn't much I can tell you about them, see. Mm-hmm. If you want to interview them, you have to ask their permission to get their permission to interview their lives. But then I just tell about my father-in-law that he is a wonderful man.
Has the Lim family, were they mostly involved in business?
My sister-in-law was in a restaurant business too. And my brother-in-law, he was an interpreter for... Who was the interpreter for? That was so long, I really forgot who was the interpreter. He was the interpreter too. Then he opened a grocery store, you know. So I don't know what else. He's retired now. They're all retired. See, this is Second World War you're talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he was ever in the army, because I think at that time he was in the first war, isn't it? At his age, first war. You go back, like my father is a First World War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then my husband because he was, he got some kind of a trouble, was his flat foot or something, at the Second World War, I think, or the First World War, I don't know. Second World War is not too long ago, isn't it? 1933?
Mm-hmm.
Was it 1934, Roosevelt's Day, what year was that? 1934, I believe. 1934, 1979, that's 35 years ago.
That's not too long ago.
Huh? 43 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's long ago, yeah. For you it is. You're young for 43 years ago, yeah. That's a long time ago, but don't forget my father was here when the First World War. Now, I tell you the truth, I think my father's very interesting to talk about. Because he didn't speak a word of English, he believed in Confucius. He believed in washing his hair every morning. He believed in cleanliness. And we lived in such small quarters that you have to take turns and go into the sink and wash your face and all that. That is living the life just like Howard saw last night's picture, you know. He was strict, but he was a good man, you know. And then when he died, my father died, he had the biggest funeral. I told you, the biggest funeral. He was so honored, so respected by all the Chinese people in Chinatown. I'm really proud of my father. I'm proud of my father-in-law too, but they're in a different category, you know. As mm-hmm. I say, one lives uptown, one lives downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Now in those days, the people that live uptown looks down to people down Chinatown. There's a friction right there, which none of us like, you know.
What caused the friction?
The people that live uptown think they're better than the people that are living down in Chinatown. Because, of course, if he had to be an interpreter, he thinks they're ignorant because he learned by himself how to speak English. You see the difference?
Is this a feeling before the war?
That was in World War I, I believe, in those days, you know. I was figuring that at their age, at 92, must be First World War, isn't it? Mm-hmm. See, my father died when he was 72 years old. So that's where the problem is, see. So my father is a proud man. He wasn't rich, but he was proud.
Did he join family associations?
Wong Association.
Was he active in the family association?
He was too busy in his herb business and his bathhouse. Now, I was too young, but I believe he was. Otherwise, he wouldn't have such a big funeral. Must be the Wong Association take care of his funeral. I really don't know about that part. I believe he was taken care of by the Wong Association. See, the Wong is very proud of themselves in Los Angeles. They're a big family.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big family.
Did you and your husband join any Chinese family
associations? No, we didn't. My husband joined the Lems Association just recently, not very long, just before he died, you know. Because he's very Americanized. See, my husband and I were born here. Well, we're Americans, you know. We were born here. So he just joined the Lem Association. I forgot what they even called it. Gongju, I think, Association.
Do you know what the dues were?
The dues, I don't know, 250, I think, I believe, you know.
A year?
I don't know. It must be 250. They were just giving me a dividend check not very long ago. So I don't know how much he paid. Because I wasn't interested in... I myself was not interested in his Chinese doing, because I don't understand it, you know. But my husband do read Chinese, see, but I don't. I went to Chinese school for 4 years, but I don't remember it. I mean, I tried to. I really am ashamed that I don't continue. Maybe that's what I should do, go to Chinese school.
So you figured that you weren't interested in joining the family associations?
I am now. I am now.
But how about before the war? Why weren't you interested?
No, it wasn't because I was too busy working, helping my husband, bringing up my children. See, for 25 years, I don't even go out. I brought up two beautiful children because, as I say, I give them credit too. But see, when one has children, I'm telling you, you have to be a good mother too to bring them up right. You really have to stay home, cook, wash, see the kids come home. That's what I did. I really didn't go in. I tell you the truth, Jean. I didn't go out anywhere. I really, really was the mother to my children. So now they brought up to be fine children. So I don't join anything. But I just I'm going to join the Wong Association. I'm going back to my father's side. Not that I don't know the Lem side too much. The Lem Association, and they would have to ask who I am. I have to tell them I am a Wing. Lopal Ling, a wife, you know, in Chinese, you know. So, and I went up there one day and talked to them. I said, I am Walter's wife. I have to tell them that, see. But the Wong Association, one mention of who I am, they said, oh, and they had Tong Sai Morgan, Tong Sai Baka Nui, Sai Nui, Hai Lo, and I just told them that. So they know me right away. In fact, they know me more than I know them. So it makes it more interesting for me to join the Wong Association. So I'm going to pay my dues to the Wong Association. I would pay the Lems too, but to me it's already paid for. I don't know how it just made it that much for the whole due. So I'm going to pay dues to the Wong Association. They happen to be the Gambian village, which I'm very proud of. They're very interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
None of them speak good English, but it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. I like it. I like the Wong Association.
Mm-hmm.
Even my in-laws say, are you going back to the Wongs? I said, well, I'm very proud of my Wongs.
So you spent so much time raising your family.
Yes.
25 years. Did you have time for any other social activities?
No,
clubs,
I did not.
Or?
No, only, no clubs and no association except now, you know. At that time, my mother-in-law was alive, and she would rather I stay home. My father-in-law was very nice, so to make my mother-in-law happy, oh, it's not interesting. We would just have family birthday parties and New Year's and Christmas just with the family, with the Lem's family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have my if I do, I have it with my sister Daisy and have it with her family. I come over here with them and have it with their parties, you know. So I don't go anywhere outside of birthday parties, just among the family.
Did you speak, you and husband speak Chinese with your children?
No. That's our fault. They don't speak a word of Chinese. And now they're blaming me. They say, the reason that I don't speak Chinese now because you never spoken Chinese to me, you know. It's really my fault. See?
Why didn't you? Did you think it was not necessary?
No, it was necessary. I'm sorry I didn't. Because it happened just like I'm talking now with you. Well, you tell me to speak Chinese. No, I just speak in English because it just comes naturally that I speak English. But I really should speak Chinese to them. Now I even laugh at them. I said, what am I talking about in Chinese? I guess you say, come and eat or something, you know, which I said, I told my children, I said, you should learn how to speak Chinese in school and learn how to speak French or German. In fact, my daughter took up German for a while. It's very hard. And she took up French. And my daughter-in-law speaks Spanish fluently. See, and my grandson don't even know a thing about Chinese. I mean, he don't speak a word of Chinese. It's a shame. I think all children should learn how to speak Chinese.
Why?
Why? Well, it's good. It's just like learning a foreign language. You're like in the United States. Why shouldn't you learn how to speak Chinese? That's your heritage. And I think you should learn how to speak Chinese. Regardless of what we are, we were born here. I said, I know I'm American. I call myself American Chinese because I am born here. But I think all children should go to Chinese school, just as important as to go to English school. English school is very important too, because we have to, because this is our country and we should learn how to speak English first and Chinese for our heritage.
Did you consider sending your children to Chinese school?
Not at my time. And I have no way of getting there, as I say. I would have to go kind of way through, go to Chinese school. Because at my time, when my father had the Chinese school, he insisted I go to Chinese school. See, that time, when what my father said at that time, that means you got to do it. Chinese school, you got to go. He insisted. That's why he opened a Chinese school for me to go to Chinese and his children to go to Chinese school. That's why I have to go to Chinese school. But there's no Chinese school near here. We used to have Chinese school in Chinatown. Things are all around, you know. I don't know about how they're doing it now down in Chinatown. I really don't know. But that time, the Chinese people were not so, it's enlarged now. You know, it used to be a small community. You know, everything was closed. Chinese school was closed. In fact, I was very scared when I was living down in Alameda Street. I had to go through the back door, past the railroad station, go through a dark alley. I can still remember that very scene where I go through. It was so dark, I was so scared. I would run over and go to Chinese school and run back in that dark alley. That's the closest way coming home. Gosh, I was scared. That's like going through a tunnel of fearness. Very scary. That time and then right in back of us was where we live. It's a little houses all around. I remember the Chinese were weaving baskets. I'm here, that's a long time ago. They were weaving baskets in back of one of the houses back there. See, they were, at that time, Chinese are more progressive now. They are more up and up before when we did have a Chinese school, we were somebody, you know, like open a bathhouse, we were somebody, you know, you have something. And being a good herbalist like my father was something. And also my mother, she know how to deliver babies. She know how to get the medicine together, the Chinese herb together. How to, just like the one that's taking pills now, she can have an abortion with her Chinese herbs. That's really something for a woman who didn't speak a word of English and who know how to get the herbs together. I mean, you look at her, you think that she don't know anything, but she's quiet. She knows everything. See, they're very softly spoken. They are just like my father. You can just talk when you're supposed to, but she didn't. She just do everything right, you know, do everything right. Good cook.
Mm. Do you think the Chinese in L.A. have done just as well as the general population in L.A., or better or worse?
I think they're better.
Why do you say that?
Even more progressive, I think. The younger generation come out to do more things instead of being, they go into more being a lawyer, being a doctor, being an engineer, as you say, being educational. They go towards more in higher education. See, before, you don't, at that time, you don't have the boys, children don't want to go to school. What can you do outside being, putting a restaurant, which is very good business. Restaurants have to be a good business head too. I can't say anything about restaurant. You got good management, good head, and you just say, Chinese people can't do nothing but laundry laundrymen looked down upon, you see, but now they're more well-educated, they're more progressive, yeah, they are. I think they're better than in our days, I think.
What kinds of jobs were the Chinese doing mostly before the war?
Before the war? Groceryman, you know, being laundryman. No, I can't say that's all they really could do. I mean, outside of restaurant business. See, down in Chinatown, when we used to live there, you can just order your food, they deliver it, see? So mostly it looks like it's restaurant to me. But now the kids are getting higher education because even the people nowadays, that the mother and parents from China is educating the children in higher education. So that's where they get their education from. And of course the children nowadays want to get ahead too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which were the most important families in Los Angeles before the war?
Continue. Tape 2, Psi B.